Chapter 7, What You See, You Will Tell. What a delight it was to stroll around paradise, see all the wonderful sights, and learn God's word. God told me, What you see, you will tell. I will give you wisdom and knowledge beyond measure. In times of need, I will increase your knowledge. One day I asked God the question that many people want to know, Who and what are you? He laughed and said, Let's take a walk. I want to show you some things. Walking with God was the most awesome thing I have ever done in my life. I was not fearful, but I was very careful of what I said. I had great respect for him. We walked and looked at the sights. Ahead and to our right was a range of gorgeous mountains that appeared to be draped with snow. Along the path were flowers, and we stopped to look at one that was beautiful beyond description. It seemed to recognize God, and the flower moved with a vibrating motion when he came near. God said, That is me. I thought, well, okay. We walked further and saw a beautiful creek. Again, a creek like none I had ever seen on earth. On the opposite side of the creek was an island where children were playing with lions and tigers. The children jumped on the animals and pulled a lion's mane. The lion roared and gently nudged the children, almost as though cuddling them. The children laughed and said, Growl again! The lion roared again. This scene was repeated over and over, and I sensed that the lion was getting tired of roaring, but he did so anyway just for the children. God said, That is me too, in a way. We walked further and came upon a river that bubbled like a babbling brook. God pointed out fish in the river, all kinds of multicolored fish. When the fish swam by, they looked up at us and smiled. One was about a foot long with a wavy red stripe on top and a wavy silver stripe on the bottom. A yellowfish was covered with red polka dots. One fish had a golf ball-sized knot on its head and a face that was pointed down to its nose. Another was about 2 feet long and dark blue, with white pinhead-sized dots under its fin. God said, See the fish? That is me too. And the river, I asked? That is me also. What do you see that I am? I replied, God, you are exactly what we need when we need it. You have answered your own question, he said. That is what I am. I am whatever you need at the time that you need it. I am everything that you need. I am all of that. I am. Around the throne of God is a cloud of glory that looks like a mist or a fog. But this cloud glows brightly. It completely covers God and moves all around him. Even though I could only vaguely see God through this cloud, I could see his eyes. In the eyes of God, you see boundless mercy and love, and you feel as though you are looking directly into his soul. But his eyes also have the look of authority, almost a fiery look of authority. When God speaks, it sounds like thunder rolling across the sky. When he laughs, lightning flashes. God is very jolly, and his laughter is one of joy, such that everybody else, and all of creation, laughs too. It thrilled my soul to hear God's laughter. One cannot go to paradise without wanting to see Jesus. Some people do not believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because it is a difficult concept for them to grasp. When the Bible speaks of God being one, it means one in unity and purpose. Everything the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit do is performed in perfect unity, in one mind and one accord. Jesus prayed that those who make up the body of Christ would be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. God is also one, in that he is the one true God of the universe. Finally, the Godhead is one, as you are one, yet also body, soul, and spirit. God said to me, I am that I am. All that is with me are as I am. Where I am, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are always there. Soon after I arrived in paradise, I told God, I want to see Jesus. I want to see the one who died for me. God said, step back a bit. I obeyed and watched as the radiant cloud around God intensified and began to glow even brighter. Jesus stepped from this cloud, and it seemed that he had just stepped out of the body of God. Immediately, I knew that I was looking at Jesus. His eyes are tantalizing, and they pierced me with the compassion and love that radiates from them. Jesus, thank you for dying for me, I told him. It was my honor to be this sacrifice, he replied. Jesus became the Son on earth, and he is the bridegroom of the body of believers. The bride of Christ is all righteous believers, unified together as one. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. On earth, he is invisible, but since he is a spirit, he too can take on a visible form at times. You might see the appearance of someone on earth whom you think is Jesus, but you could be seeing a visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit. One of the many jobs of the Holy Spirit is to talk to us. He tells us what he hears in heaven, and he knows what to say and when to say it. He will not do or say anything that the Father has not directed him to do or say. The guidance that we receive from God comes to us directly by way of the Holy Spirit. As I stood in paradise looking into the eyes of Jesus, he told me, Ronnie, most people on earth are astonished when I call them by name, but I know everybody on earth by name. I know everything my people do. It saddens me to see them try to separate themselves as they do. They must come into unity for these last days. The place for my people has already been prepared, he continued. I am waiting on the command from my Father to go. God, when are you going to send him? I asked. Soon, very soon. See that portal? Go look through it. I did. And I saw the number 70. If you live to be that age, there is a great possibility that you will be in the catching away of the saints. When you return to earth, I want you to tell my people that the coming of my Son is very, very near. Look around you. The generation that saw Israel become a nation shall not pass away before my Son returns for my people. If they knew the hour, they would stay on their knees and pray without ceasing. Some people pray without ceasing, but very few. They used to call on me for rain. They called on me for their seeds to produce fruit. But now they call upon science to show them a new way of doing things. All they have to do is turn back to me, and I will give them the abundance of life. I saw the place where the bride of Christ will celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. Everything is set and ready. One long table reached as far as I could see, with other tables extending off the sides of that table. The tables are covered with cloths that are woven in such a way that could not have been done by man. There are candlesticks on the tables, along with huge serving bowls that are perhaps 2 feet long. Gorgeous large flower arrangements, flowers that almost look like they could speak to you, are already placed on the tables. The table settings for the meal are already in place. The plates are gold with heavenly flowers painted on them, while the goblets are gold with silver running down from the top. The goblets are carved with intricate designs. The transparent eating utensils sparkle as though they were carved from perfect diamonds. The seats appear to be carved from something like a type of rock, but they are lightweight with a smooth surface. At this celebration, we will eat, drink, and laugh, and it will be much more joyful than any earthly marriage celebration or wedding reception. There was a red cloth at one of the tables, and God said, "This cloth means something." I recalled that red stands for the blood of Jesus, and we are having the marriage supper because of the blood that Jesus, the Lamb of God, shed for us on the cross. While I was in paradise, God told me that two planes had just crashed and that all 73 people on board the planes died. He told me that only two people cried out to him and are now in paradise. God said, all they had to say was, "Jesus, forgive me." They only needed to call upon me at the last moment to be saved. I had never attempted to research plane crashes until working on this book. When we did, we found one commercial airline crash during the time I was in paradise. It happened on July 1, 2002, and it involved Bashkirian Airlines Flight 2937 traveling from Moscow to Barcelona, and an air freight cargo plane, DHL Flight 611, carrying two Bahrain-based pilots, one British and one Canadian. Because of air traffic control error, the planes collided in midair near Lake Constance, Germany. All 71 passengers aboard the Bashkirian flight died, as well as the two pilots aboard Flight 611. Then God said, "Let me show you an example of repentance." He let me look down to earth and see a man who attended church and went to the altar after nearly every service, but he would never truly repent. This man had cancer and was going to die at any moment. I saw somebody standing at the altar talking to him. This person was telling the man, "You must repent." The man replied, "I have repented time and time again." "But you must repent from the heart now. If you do not repent from the heart, you will be lost forever." The man started to say something and dropped dead. God said to me, "Do not always depend on deathbed repentance. You may never get the words out." While in paradise, I saw row upon row of crowns sitting on shelves. So many crowns that I could see neither the end nor the top. I asked God, "What are all those crowns for?" "They are for my people who will inherit the crown of glory," he replied. Each crown was about 2 or 3 inches tall, and in the front there was either a small, medium, or large diamond. Some crowns had many stars and gemstones. Others had only a few, and still others had only one star or gemstone. On Judgment Day, God will recognize you and reward you for your faithfulness and for the good deeds that you did for Him, such as leading people to Christ. On that day, He will place a crown upon your head. The crowns with the largest diamond in the front are for people who had authority and responsibility as overseers for many of God's shepherds, and who led many to Christ. God said, "These were the rock of my foundation." The crowns with a medium-sized diamond are for shepherds, ministers, and teachers who helped many find their way to Christ. Those with a small diamond in the front are for the sheep, or those who were led by the shepherds. The crowns that had many smaller, glistening gemstones represent someone who was a soul winner and led many people to Christ. God allowed me to see into the future and view a multitude of people like the sand of the sea. It was as though the sky opened up and I could not see the end of the multitudes. "What am I looking at?" I asked. "You are looking at Judgment Day," he replied. "God, how many years in my time will it take to judge so many people?" God replied, "In 1 hour, I will judge both the wicked and the righteous." In heaven, angels record deeds in two different books. One book contains the deeds of the righteous, and another contains the deeds of the unrighteous. Both the righteous and the unrighteous will be judged based on their deeds in these two books. Angels record each of your sins in the book of the wicked. But when you repent of those sins, angels blot them out of this book. Those sins are forgiven and forgotten. They are cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought back to remembrance. God cannot remember your sins that have been covered by the blood of Jesus through repentance. The sins of those who have not repented and thus have not received forgiveness remain in the book of the wicked. The names of all the righteous are recorded in the Lamb's book of life. God showed me the future judgment where I saw him divide the just from the unjust by simply saying, "All the just come over here. All the unjust stand over there." Those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life stood with the just. Those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life stood with the unjust. People knew if they were just or unjust, and they obeyed accordingly. There was no argument from anybody about which category they were in. When it came time to judge the wicked, God told the angels, "Bring your book." The angels opened the book of the wicked, and God said, "All thieves go with this angel. All liars go with this angel. All those who sold their body go with this angel. All adulterers go with this angel." As God continued to call out various sins, people knew which category they were in, and they followed God's orders. Just as the Bible warns in Revelation 20, verse 15, these people were then cast into the lake of fire. Finally, the righteous were judged according to their deeds and had crowns placed upon their heads. These are the people who, after this final judgment, will live eternally with God on the new earth. Just as paradise is currently the holding place for the righteous who will one day live on the new earth, so is hell currently the holding place for the wicked who will one day be cast into the lake of fire. Seeing the lake of fire and knowing that people had to be sent there was horrible. There are people today who teach that hell doesn't exist or that hell is here on earth. Let me assure you that hell is a very real place, and there is nothing on earth that compares to the terror, fear, and trembling that you will face if you choose to go there. I plead with you to live your life so that you will not one day be cast into the lake of fire.